Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Now, I do want to make a comment. One of our Facebook viewers, by the way, I should have said this at the outset. Now we get the last segment, but if you want to watch this show and don't know how, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues, and you can click through and you can watch us do radio if that's exciting. But we do have a pretty good list of folks who are on a regular basis will watch the show. They interact with each other on Facebook. But David, so I don't give last names out over the air, but David says, Ed sitting in Tim's chair, is Tim out? And then he says, no popcorn entertainment today. So that's right, Dave. I eat popcorn, but not on the air. Our president does. And as president, he can do as he likes. But I think the popcorn thing is really, they enjoy that. Because Tim will just, you know, he knows he's on camera, but he's, you know, he's hungry. He doesn't want his stomach growling. And so there's a real thing. I'll look at the comments sometimes, and people notice the popcorn. Tim's got a serious problem. He's got a serious addiction to popcorn, at least for the 11 o'clock segment. That's Central Time. All right. Talking about serious problems, Steve Jordahl is joining us from Studio Venus.
Hello. I got popcorn. Hold on. There we go. Hi, guys.
Yeah, we always crack up. Because Tim will, he'll crumple his bag right there on air, and it just makes a racket. So we have a lot of fun teasing him about that. He just doesn't care. He makes a bad shot in golf. He doesn't care. You know, that's just part of life. So anyway, David, glad you're watching. Nothing's wrong with Tim, but I'm sitting in for him today. All right, Steve,
hey,
what do we got going?
I wanted to start with this, with what's going on overseas. And you know, here in this country, we are still struggling with how to deal with the coronavirus and the added restrictions. I know you guys talked a lot about the MacArthur thing, the churches, and what's going on there. I came across a story that just blew my mind. New Zealand had pretty much beaten this virus. They had, for most of May, for all of June and July, and for the first part of August, almost zero new infections. But then they had a breakout. They actually had 13 new cases. This is in a country of 4.9 million people, 13 new cases. So, of course, the government, the director of health, her name is Dr. Ashley Broomfield, and the country's prime minister, Jacinda Ardern, decided that it was time to take some action. I want you to hear the action that they decided to take for a breakout of 13 cases, all in Auckland, by the way, cut 7.
I am now directing medical officers of health that all cases, confirmed cases, are to be managed in a quarantine facility. This will apply to any cases and also close family members who might be at risk as appropriate.
What do we do if someone refuses to be tested? Well, they can't now. If someone refuses in our facilities to be tested, they have to keep staying. So it's a pretty good incentive. You either get your tests done and make sure you're cleared, or we will keep you in a facility longer.
For 13 cases.
Listen, this is real, folks. Now let me just say this. I did not know that they've moved their election, haven't they?
They now have 50 cases in a country of 4.9 million, and they've moved their election back a month.
Okay. So, first of all, let me just say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in terms of the fact that coronavirus is real. Okay. My personal opinion is that if there is honesty, that's a big if, and Fred gets you to jump in, that we are going to hear, there's going to be studies about what's happened and transpired, and a lot of what we thought was happening was not happening. I think a lot of overcounting in this country of cases, so on and so forth. But it's a real virus. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm not saying it's just like the flu. I'm not even talking about that. I'm putting all those issues into a box. I'm setting that off to the side. What I am concerned about, and I'm not alone, is that you have Western democracies that are using this pandemic as an excuse to exercise and expand control over their people. What New Zealand, what these people are saying, and this idea has been floated around here, in I say here, in this country, Fred, of taking people who have tested positive and stashing them in a facility, even taking kids away. And now they're talking about, we saw Alan Dershowitz a month or two ago talking about the vaccine. He said the federal government has the right under a pandemic, even if you don't want to get a vaccine, they can take haul you in and plunge a needle into your arm without your consent. Now, again, please don't drag me into the discussions about vaccines. I've been reading a lot, watching a lot of videos, trying to get up to speed. I saw Robert Kennedy Jr. and Alan Dershowitz, one of our Facebook folks sent me a link or told me about it. I've watched it. All I'm saying about vaccines, I'm not a doctor. I am trying to get up to speed on it. But I don't care whether vaccines are good for you or not. All those issues, I'm putting those in another box. The government does not have the right to stick a needle in your arm. Yeah. This is getting scary.
It is getting scary. And let's just stick, and you've heard this phrase, with the science for now.
Right.
We do know for sure, we're 6 months into it here in the United States, that the initial concern over elderly people with pre-existing conditions, we have enough evidence to show now that that is true. With pre-existing conditions, an elderly person is at least more vulnerable.
And people who aren't elderly who also have comorbidities.
Yes. Yeah. So those heart problems, diabetes, all of those sorts of things. So that is proven science at this point. All the rest over and above that is, I think there's a lot of politics involved. Because let's look at Switzerland, where they didn't go the mandatory mask route, where they basically kept business open, and they're doing just fine.
Sweden is the same thing.
Yes. You look at South Dakota with the governor there, Kristi Noem, all right? And she said, we're leaving it up to the people for the most part to decide what is safe for them. South Dakota is doing just fine. So you can't, these blanket statements that keep coming out from the even from some of the so-called experts, why isn't that holding up everywhere?
Right.
If you want to go with the science, what is it about certain parts of Europe, apparently, where do they have an immune system?
Yeah.
Against this disease? Do they have an immune system in South Dakota that it doesn't seem to be affecting them? So that's why we have to enter into, okay, what else is going on here? And it has to be politics. And I'm with you. It is scary when you have a government that says, as we were just talking about in the last hour, says to a church, you can't meet.
Yes.
You can't hold worship services at your church. And if you do, we're going to come in. What was the case in Pastor McCoy's church there in Ventura County, where a judge said, we're going to look at the first 1,000 John Does who show up at the church, and we're going to issue a citation to you.
Right.
This is America. This is not China.
But it sounds an awful lot like China.
Well, the thinking, that's what's scary. Right. The thinking is starting to enter into the equation here that we're going to use this virus as an excuse to gain more control of the population. And anybody who disagrees with us doesn't love America.
Right.
What was it? Was it Joe Biden that said this last week? I think it was, where he... mandatory mask.
Yes.
Remember he said this? It's the patriotic thing to do.
Right.
That's what he said. It's the patriotic thing to do. There ought to be a nationwide mandatory mask policy.
Well, Steve, that's why I said at the outset of my little rant that we will hopefully study our reaction to this in case there's ever a real serious pandemic, like they thought SARS was going to be, they thought Ebola was going to be, that we will take a good, hard, long look at what we did, whether it was accurate, and how our freedoms were curtailed in this country, because we can't do this again 3 years from now when something else comes up. I mean, this could be the end of Yeah, democracy in the West.
I think you're right on one level that this will be fodder for study for years to come. My concern, Ed and Fred, is that this has become so politicized, I'm not sure we can trust what conclusions a lot of people will come up with, whether this was justified or not.
I think you're right. Hopefully, you know, it's kind of like hydroxychloroquine. We have had studies from other countries. Maybe that will put pressure on think tanks or what have you here in this country to tell the truth. I don't know. Nobody knows. The fact that we have so much information available doesn't seem to be guaranteeing that we're getting the truth. Mm-hmm. That's kind of counterintuitive, but that seems to be where we're at. Yeah. All right, Steve, what else?
You remember, this seems like a lifetime ago because it was in 2019, but do you remember the young man named James Younger? He was a Dallas little 8-year-old kid. And his mother, or non-biological mother, by the way, Dr. Ann, I think it's pronounced Georgulas, G-E-O-R-G-U-L-A-S. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. But anyway, Dr. Ann decided that she wanted this kid to be transgender. Now, this is an 8-year-old, was 7. I think this whole drama started when he was 6. So it's probably not fair to say that the child is choosing anything. The mom chose it for him. She wanted him to be transgender, so she started buying him dresses and wigs, enrolled him in a school as a girl named Luna, took him to, you know, LGBT parades, etc. Dad, whose name is James Younger, didn't want this for his son. When he was spending time with his dad, he was all boy. And when he was spending time with mom, he would wear the dresses that mom provided for him. So they went to court over what's going to happen with this little kid. And a judge, Kim Cooks, back last October, decided that they needed joint parenting. This weekend, another judge, Mary Brown out of Dallas, decided to overturn that last ruling and now has put little James's mother, and stepmom, Anne, in charge of him and all decisions about his sexuality, except they're making dad pay for the pro-transgender counseling at $5,000 a month.
Look, this is a terrible case, and is, I think, a glimpse into the future for a, if you have a pro-LGBTQ administration in this country, the Obama administration was, Biden-Harris would be as well if they are elected on November 3rd. My understanding, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong on this, that when all this was kind of getting untracked and we were learning things about it, that the son said he only dresses in women, girls' clothing because it makes his mother happy.
I recall some statement to the effect that, yeah. I mean, what little 6-year-old boy doesn't want to make mom happy?
Right. And that was the pressure. This woman, she is a doctor, so she apparently knows best, I'm being facetious, that this boy is really crying out to be a girl, so that's why she was dressing. And this poor dad, I hate to say what I would do under those circumstances. First of all, I don't have little kids, but not anymore. They're grown. But Fred, I just would say I'm not paying it.
No.
You know, you put me in jail, but I'm not contributing to the destruction of my son.
Well, once again, you have judicial activism going
right
on here. And I mean, the fact that giving the mother just total authority over this little boy, who in visits with his dad, as Steve has pointed out, enjoys being a boy.
Right.
I hesitate to say whenever, you know, the issues like this come up, that the state needs to move in and move the boy out of that control of that environment. But this may be a case where to rescue that little boy. I'm sure there will be a challenge to this latest court decision. At least I hope there would be. Maybe this is a case also where the state judicial department, the Attorney General's department, at least asks for an investigation.
Yeah. Well, my understanding, Steve, and then we can move on to another story because this is a very sad case, but that Texas was going to take some steps last year when this started unfolding. I don't know that they ever did. I'm talking about the legislature or executive branch, that they were going to try to pass a law that forbid any kind of drug taking or surgeries to transition a child under the age of 18. I don't know whether that was ever passed. Do you know?
I do not know. I'll look that up and bring it in tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
I have a student at Stockton University. This is in New Jersey. And this student was doing his classes via Zoom, like all the students are now. He's a doctoral student at Stockton University. And he happened to have as a backdrop in his Zoom feed from his home a picture of President Trump. Well, other students on the Zoom call felt offended, disrespected, and taunted. He is now facing suspension from school because he put President Trump picture in his background.
I don't know how that's legal. I mean, I don't know how that's... That is not a big fat lawsuit from the student against the school because they can't control his political speech. Even if let's say he was jabbing his classmates, I don't know. You know, maybe this is just his office at home. I have an office at home. I have pictures up on the wall. I don't think about it if I'm Zooming or FaceTiming with my family. What's behind me, but. How in the world can you suspend the kid because he's got something in his home?
Well, could you imagine for a moment, let's go back 8 years, and a student zooming in with a picture of Barack Obama behind him.
Right.
And the student saying to the professor, I'm offended because I just think Barack Obama is doing all the wrong things.
Right.
Can you imagine that student with the picture of Barack Obama being suspended?
No.
And what the mainstream media would do with that?
Well, because this is all one way. You don't find... I'm going to make a vast generalization here, sweeping generalization, that the vast majority of Trump supporters don't care if you've got a picture of Barack Obama behind you or somebody, or yeah. Joe Biden behind you.
Yeah.
It's the soft snowflake left
yes.
that gets triggered by a picture of the sitting president.
Yes.
How can you get suspended?
Yeah,
that's like having the American flag behind you
yeah.
and someone being triggered by it.
What next? Some young man gets on an airplane with a Make America Great cap on. And, you know, three people on the airplane say, I'm offended by that.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Is this really what we want for this nation? That people all of a sudden have the power to say, I don't like that person's politics, throw them off the plane.
Well, it's cancel culture.
And by the way, our producer Brent, right on top of things, just texted me an article. College backs off charges against the student who used Trump photo on Zoom.
They must have been listening to our
program.
They
probably were. Although they say now, they're also upset with a Facebook post that he said, where he said that he was going to... What did he say? Defend his...
Sue them.
It was a Patrick. They're still looking at his Facebook polls posted whether he broke the rules. I think he said, I love this country. We were diverse. He had assimilated population from all backgrounds. Beyond that, I am done with the leftist agenda of BLM and the white self-haters. I've seen it in action in my doctoral classes at Stockton and the general media. I'm not backing down if we can't get past this. Okay, I'm ready to fight for the death for our country and against those who want to take it down. No. There it goes.
Tough kid.
Yeah.
A tough New Jersey kid, I guess.
Yes.
So the Facebook is still a problem, although the President Trump picture, thank you, Brent, for that, is not.
Brent Creeley to the rescue.
Brent Creeley to the rescue.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else we got?
All right. Let me just see. I think this is a good thing to end with. There's some little good news. 3-year-old little Abby Ladwig yesterday, Sunday, went for a walk. Her parents didn't know about this. She and her dog decided to take off. Last she was seen, it was 6:45. They didn't see her again all night. This morning, the dog comes out of the woods and goes fetches someone and brings them back to little Abby. We don't deserve dogs. This dog stayed with her all night in the woods, came out and got someone this morning to get little Abby Ladwig back. She's found alive. She had just a couple bruises and scrapes, nothing major. The dog stayed with her. Yeah. We don't deserve dogs, brah.
Okay, so I'm a little confused here, Steve. So obviously they were looking for her, right?
Yes, they had been looking for her. They had a missing picture, a missing person's flyer out and everything, but they didn't know where to look.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And the dog came rushing out of the woods. When they saw where the dog came from, they started looking in that area and quickly found little Abby.
Fred, this sounds like, did they have Lassie up in Canada when you were growing up?
Right? Yes.
Sounds like, remember Lassie? Lassie would come running back, and, you know, Timmy, I think, was a little boy, and he fell in a well or something.
Exactly.
He's always fallen into something, and Lassie would come, and, what is it? What is it, girl? What is it?
Listen, animal stories, I grew up on a farm.
Oh, okay.
And animal stories always just amaze me. I mean, we had... Once we can travel down this road, we got a few minutes here. We had a cat that we had too many cats. It's when I was growing up. And so we took this cat. Somebody wanted a cat because they had mice in their house.
Yeah.
My dad drives the cat, and this is about 5 miles away. A year later, the cat walks up our driveway.
Really? It took a year?
It took, well, I don't know. It stayed where he was for a while, but a year later, the cat walks up the driveway. Needless to say, we didn't want to give that cat away anymore.
Right.
But there's all kinds of stories like this.
Yes.
You know, the dog that gets loose when the family's on vacation.
And or natural disaster. Sometimes they'll find their way back.
It's absolutely amazing. I do believe, and there's dogs they sense things that we humans don't.
Right.
You know, we talked, I think it was last week, about the dogs that are now being used to smell out people who might have the COVID virus.
Or right. cancer.
Or cancer.
Right.
It is absolutely amazing, and give all the credit to God, because he created dogs too. And he put within them a certain sense that we don't understand. But I'm awfully thankful for it, because there are so many stories like Steve has just given us, and God has blessed us with animals.
Absolutely.
Well, I consider it a blessing. Now, my wife has a variety of animals. We got a couple of ducks outside and a guinea, and that's crazy.
Not a small hen, is it?
Guinea? No, they get pretty big. Now they'll you may be thinking of like quail or something. They get pretty big, and they're loud. They're good kind of watch birds.
Okay,
but I will give you one cat story. Now I'm a dog person now, not a cat person.
As am I.
But we did have, my mom loved cats. We had lots of cats growing up, and my favorite cat at the time, Mizzy, I would come home from school, thought this cat loved me. Every day I'd come home from school, even in high school, she'd be asleep on my bed. I thought, she's my cat.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize was that's where the sun came in. in the afternoons, Mizzy was asleep on my bed because the sun was coming in. I thought it was me, but it wasn't. That broke me of cats. That bitter disappointment, that was it.
So my wife loves, sunshine of my life.
My wife loves cats. She loves everything. My wife will pull over the car, have me pull over the car to help a turtle across the street. That is the road. These country roads, that is the absolute truth.
That's beyond Boy Scout, you know.
She says, someone will run it over.
That's just a road bump, isn't it? It's just like one of those.
Oh, Steve, see, you're the kind of person that makes my wife do this.
I don't aim for them. Honestly, I don't.
Well, I agree with you, Fred. Animals are a real blessing, except for the kind that try to eat us.
Yes.
You know, or bite us or sting us.
Yes, but when we get to heaven, they'll all lie down with us.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. Mizzy will be up there.
That's right. She'll be waiting for you in the eternal sunshine.
Yes, that's right. There you go. All right, folks. We've enjoyed it today, even though we've talked about a lot of serious issues. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Read the Word of God, because we do win in the end.
And amen.
During the interim, we will be salt and light in our culture. You've been listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. More great programming directly ahead. And Lord willing, we will join you again tomorrow for another edition of today's issues. Bye for now.